We greet each one in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He means so much to us in what he has done for us. The Sunday school lesson, or the devotional, certainly lent itself to what the Lord has laid upon my heart. When the Apostle Paul went into that synagogue, and for three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is the Christ. Lays the foundation for our message. We want to raise up Jesus Christ this morning, that we might see him as the one who is worthy of our praise and adoration and devotion and love and our service. What brought me to this, pondering this message? We want to preach a message on worthy is the Lamb, and the blessing of redemption. How I love to proclaim it. So we're a theme of redemption through Jesus Christ and what it means to us. This week, got a call, and the one that had called was talking about six young people in their congregation that had found Jesus Christ and had shared their testimonies in the audience of the congregation, and the blessing that was upon that group in seeing people, young people, experience a new birth and express the joy and blessing of having found salvation through the atoning work of the blood of Jesus Christ. And what it means to them. Six young people in one congregation, and then they heard about five young people in another congregation in the States who had also experienced that wonderful experience of deliverance from sin. And the Holy Spirit entering into their heart, making them transformed new creatures in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Why is that? We want to notice as we go through this message. Another thing that brought me to this, and the men, one of the other brethren that was sharing this message or this, what had these developments in the church, said, "Praise the Lord, the angels in heaven are rejoicing." Are they? Yes, they are. God, heaven recognizes what that response of faith and what Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary and saving from a life of sin. Another experience, got a phone call from another brother. He said, "We've been working with a man, a younger man, probably in his early 30s, who is desperate and in need and is caught in the terrible vices of sin and the dregs of drugs and sex and immorality and all that goes along with that kind of a sin. And he's feeling a deep sense of need. And he's pouring out his heart. And what they're trying to minister to him, and the brethren were reaching out to him from different places and trying to minister to him and, you know, do what we need to do as instruments in sharing the message of the gospel and making it, you know, his faith come alive." And he heard the message, he acknowledged the message, but down deep inside, he held out. Spiritual warfare was happening in that scene. The devil is out to capture the souls of men and destroy them, but the power of God is there to deliver them. That man shot himself. My son talked to him one day before that and pled with him and talked to him, and the brethren were praying and sharing, and the next day he walked down the street with a handgun in his pocket, walked into someone's backyard and went into a shed in the back and shot himself. Tragic! We talk about today is a day of salvation. Harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, the day of temptation in the wilderness. Destinies are at stake. What makes a difference? Another thing I had to think about was, heard about an ordination in a congregation that hadn't experienced an ordination in a number of years. And the joy and blessing that was to that group in unity and love coming to that through that experience of faith in working, putting a man's name in the men's names in the lot, seeing the hand of God move in that group to call a man to the office of the ministry. And my one brother was talking about to another older senior brother, gray-haired, and he said he was on high. The power of God and the witness of the direction of the Holy Spirit in the group in doing that, in the church being able to move forward, what a blessing of God. Why? Another thing I thought about that brought me to this message, we're looking forward to communion. In anticipation of communion, our hearts are filled with anticipation and joy and blessing of being able to come and share the emblems of Christ's suffering in the shed blood of Christ by the taking the cup and the bread, and what it means bringing us into the fellowship of the body in Christ's broken body. What that means. Are we looking forward to it? Why? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. Because there was one who was worthy. So our focus is on Christ this morning. I'm going to read through this chapter. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, and a book written within on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book?" And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Notice, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain," notice, "and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made unto us, and hast made unto our God, made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." past, present, or future tense. All involved, as far as the tense of this, how it is written. It reflects upon the past, because we're looking into both covenants. But there stands the focal point of this message is in the cry of who is worthy to open the book. And then one was found to open the book. And we want to focus on the person of Christ Jesus. Hebrews 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the express image of his glory. And exalts the person of Christ. Hebrews chapter 1. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, notice Christ, the preeminence of Christ, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, question. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son, question. And again when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? He didn't. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them shall be heirs of salvation? Lifts up Jesus Christ, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The blessing of redemption through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And we want to look at this. We think of the awfulness of sin. You and I are a terrible, ugly bunch, weren't we, before we were saved? We were desperate. We were a mess. Lost, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. A mess, desperate, lost, damned, yes. What made the difference? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even while we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. For by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and hath made us new creatures in Christ Jesus, and in the ages to come he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, like Rahab Barlett. And not For by grace he's saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Beautiful picture. Worthy is the Lamb. Universal guilt. Let's turn to Romans 2, 9 to 10. We think of worthy as a lamb. Universal guilt. Did we experience it? Just like I quoted. Dead and lost and dead in sin. Yes. Romans 2, 10 to 19. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jews first and also the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Notice, when the Gentiles which have not a law do by nature the things contained in the law, like Rahab, these having not the law are law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts and meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Let's go to universal law, universal guilt. Chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. What then? Are we better than they? No wise, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth God, no, not one. And it talks about the evil, our evil nature and all it does. And it says in the last part of verse 19 that establish universal sin, universal guilt, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. The sentence of death was upon us. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 5. Search for the Savior. The first part here. Revelation chapter 5. Notice how God moved on this scene. The question was asked, who is worthy to open the book? No man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. We have here two testaments, the Old and the New Testament, that makes up this revealed will of God to mankind that opens to us his divine plan through John 3:16. Let's say it together. Let's hear it. Yes. That key scripture, that golden scripture, which speaks of how God's love looked down on lost humanity, looked down on us, and mercy moved in the courts of heaven, the Trinity moved to do something about it. So it's a book of the covenants. They're written on both sides, but they were sealed, and no man was able to open the seal. Only one was worthy. But there was great distress and weeping. Have to think of the songwriter when he said, Rusty Goodman wrote these words, "Just suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to be a by eternal life for you and me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, forever thy soul would be lost." They were looking through the courts, asking, who is worthy? Couldn't find anyone worthy. Just imagine if that was the case. Brethren, but there was one who is worthy. In the courts of heaven, I could see in the Council of the Trinity, there, let's turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 10. In the courts of heaven. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, speaking of Christ, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. The book was sealed. The Holy Spirit was not yet given. The plan of salvation was not fulfilled. In a sense, the two covenants, if it had not been for Christ, where was the power? Where was the blood of the atonement? Where was the work of the Holy Spirit? We notice. But notice in the council of heaven, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Let's read the next verse together. By the which, read it with meaning. By the wonderful, wonderful, by the which will. But this man, after he'd offered the one sacrifice for sin, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Brethren, this could have been a state, and this is the state of the world. When marriages fail, when schools erupt in violence, when a morally insane society reeks and reels and revels in its filth and corruption, when nominal churches disintegrate, when the cup of iniquity of the nations is full and overflowing and the whole world is ripe for judgment, what is the answer? Amen. Christ is the answer. He met our needs, brethren. We know the joy and blessing of having received forgiveness through the blood of the atonement. Do you remember that day? Do you remember that day? Deliverance from such a situation. I remember that day. I remember that the blessing of having experienced the blood of cleansing. You know, as we looked at Christ's atonement on the cross of Calvary, and that blood was shed, dripped from his wounded side, flowed down on the ground. It's just like the songwriter says, "Arise, my soul, arise." Shake off the guilty fears. A bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands, before the throne my surety stands, my name is written on his hands. Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers, they strongly speak for me. Forgive him, oh, forgive, they cry. Forgive him, oh, forgive, they cry. Nor let the ransomed sinner die. My God is reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. He calls me for, he names me for, as his child. I shall no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh. With confidence I now draw nigh. And Father, Abba, Father, cry. Christ has done this for us. Brethren, do you know that blessing, like it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from corruption, who redeemeth thy life from corruption, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Yes, the blessing of redemption through Christ Jesus. Who then is worthy? Christ was worthy. Let's go on to the next part here in Revelation here. Turn with me again to Revelation. Christ was able to open the seals. Both Christ fulfilled the old covenant and he ratified or ushered in the new covenant. And think of the blessing of that fulfillment in Christ Jesus and what it means to us. The blessing of living under the new covenant. I like what it says in 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, or in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen we love. Though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What does it say? Why? Receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. Notice how this took place. After they had wept, but then one stepped forward and said, "Weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals." Notice, and I beheld, verse 6 in chapter 5, "And lo, in the midst of the throne, in the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And heaven erupted in song. And I think as heaven erupted in song, so the choruses we sing here on earth and the prayers that ascend before the throne are all mingling in the courts of heaven, just like the brother said. The angels in heaven are rejoicing in a work of grace that's happening in the audiences of people, in the audiences of the Church of the Living God. Yes, what it means. They sung a new song, verse 9, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Do you believe that? You think there's people in North Korea? North Korea? How many think there is? Better see every hand. It says every nation. In India? Yes. Appreciate you sharing. Yes, you know it. The work of grace that happens through the message of the gospel going forth and the plan of redemption being preached and taught and men experiencing deliverance from the power of sin and made new creatures in Christ Jesus, transformed, and out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. What do they say? There's I think if I have the numbers right, 137 different nations. No, how many different nations and how many different tongues? I mean, it boggles your mind. Is God's grace sufficient? Has God's power touched these hearts through the witness of creation as that sun comes up? Through the witness of conscience, number two, and through the message of the gospel given by, how shall I hear except to be sent, and how shall I hear without a preacher? And how, yeah, the message of the gospel must go forth in your shoe leather. You share it. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am, wrote Fanny Crosby. And it rings upon our hearts. It resonates right through and through. And what the blessing of redemption means to us today. The books were open. We're just going to go. Let's see how this happened. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Christ said, "Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is me. Is written to me to do thy will, of God." Verse 9, 14, chapter 9. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God?" Question. Notice, it spans both covenants. "And for this cause, he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of transgressions that were what?" That were what?
Under the First Testament.
Under the First Testament. "They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." 4,000 years from creation till Calvary. Men look forward with anticipation. The message of redemption was realized through the promises of God into Abraham, that in thee and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Not as unto seeds of a many, but as to one seed, which is Christ. And as they look forward like Rahab did, Abraham did, and all the Old Testament people did under the Old Covenant, they look forward believing in the promised Messiah that had not yet come. But God, they knew, they staggered not at the promise of God that he was going to fulfill it. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. What does it say in the next? I wish I had the next verse there. It talks about us being involved in that. 4,000 years to look forward to Calvary. 2,025 years we are looking back to Calvary. And there we see the one worthy is the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. And I, You know, I just wonder, when it talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, I don't wonder, it was a reality. For he led captivity captive and gave gifts, and though he that ascended is the same also which descended into the lower parts of the earth that he might fill all things. And he went and preached to the spirits in prison. And that interval between his death and his resurrection, Christ was in the heart of the earth preaching to the Old Testament saints and sharing with them the fact that he had fulfilled that wonderful plan of salvation, that which they looked for, that which they promised. It says the prophets searched diligently and testified before him of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Angels also desire to look into it. Here we have it. And as he preached to them, I think all these saints of the old, under the old covenant, that looked, realized that the figures of the tabernacle and the promises of God were embodied in this person of Christ Jesus, like Simeon and Anna did. They were led forth out of Hades in a procession of victory because Christ had conquered the grave. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is a devil, and deliver us who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. For he took not upon him the nature of angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham. So both covenants were brought together. The seal was opened, and there was great rejoicing in the heaven. The Lamb accepts the requirements of the covenant in the opening of the book. And Jesus fulfilled the old covenant and ratified the new. And we're brought into effect the new covenant. And we read that in Greek. The line of the tribe of Lion is like a lion, like a lamb. Isaiah 11, it talks about the spirits of God. God's omniscience. Horn means power, symbolizes power. And the seven spirits is the omniscience of God, the attributes of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 11. Beautiful fulfillment, prophetic fulfillment. Christ is prophetic fulfillment of this passage. And it talks about the spirits. Isn't that wonderful to take it out of the Old Testament, realizing what God's foreordained plan was? And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Notice it talks about the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of God, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither shall he reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. That is what it's speaking. Worthy the Lamb. He possessed all his capability in the person of the flesh, but also in his deity, Christ being divine. Worthy is the Lamb. All members of the Trinity are in complete harmony in the fulfilling the purpose of God in the redemption of man. I like what our brother shared in a benediction. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 13:14. All the Trinity involved in this. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Isn't that beautiful? The harmony of the Trinity. God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit involved in effecting the plan of salvation and through the one Jesus Christ who is worthy. We talked about the incarnation of Christ. We talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He arose supreme, King of kings and Lord of lords. Turn with me to Ephesians 1:17-23. Notice that this Christ was being worthy. Ephesians 1:17-23. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is a prayer. That the eyes of your understanding may be being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. What a God's investment in us, in the church of the living God, and his provision of grace and power to this body of believers. Jesus alone is worthy of that glory and honor. Do we know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? I say, is there any restraint to it? Is there any end to it? And the abundance of his grace to do his work in your heart and mine? No, there isn't. God alone is worthy. We want to look now at the coronation of Christ. We talked about the incarnation of Christ and his resurrection. Notice the coronation of Christ in this passage in Revelation chapter 5. And they sung a new song, verse 9, saying, "Worthy, thou art worthy to take the book and to open seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Notice, "and has made unto us, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Happening? Present tense, future tense? A reality today in the Church of Jesus Christ. We are kings and priests presently reigning. Christ is victor. He has gone the way before us. He's promised the church and invested the church with divine power. He's given the church the energizing the Holy Spirit like he did on the day of Pentecost. And that church energized goes forth in divine power to do his work and will in our day. We reign as kings and priests. Future? Present tense? Yes, present tense. We're a peculiar people, a chosen generation, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Notice the coronation. Verse 11-12. Now we're going to read the last part of this chapter. We're going to the coronation. What's a coronation? Anyone tell me? Pardon? That crowning of a king. Was Jesus worthy? Notice the crowning of the king. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders. Okay, when it talks about the 24 elders, it's talking about Old Testament patriarchs of Israel through the nation of Israel, 12 patriarchs, and the New Testament symbolizes the 12 apostles. Two covenants brought together through Jesus Christ and ratified and brought together. And then the throng that comes forth through the message of the gospel. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Can you add that up? Do the math. Can you? You can. And it's going to be out of every nation, kindred, and tribe, and tongue. We, our vision of God's work of redemption and what he's doing on planet Earth in all the nations of the world is too limited. We don't restrict the power of God, but brethren, through faith, embrace it and what God's abounding grace and power can do and what he's doing in the nations of the earth. Saying with a loud voice, coronation. Let's read it together. This is a coronation resounding from here into heaven. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Yes. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all of the and all that are in them and all that in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. He is crowned King of kings and Lord of lords, presently seated in the presence of God the Father, looking down upon this assembly as we lift our voices in adoration and praise and song and worship and devotion to him, and our prayers ascend as a sweet incense before the throne of God. And our voices are mingled together with the myriad courts that are in the courts of glory. And there our voices raise, worthy is the Lamb. That song, I love the song, Mighty God, while angels bless thee. May immortals sing thy praise. I wish I knew, I didn't write down the rest of the passage, or the rest of the poem. Mighty God, while angels bless thee. May immortals sing thy praise. Gene, can you help me? Anyone, can you help me? Maybe you can sing it the last. Anyway, that's the way our hearts feel. The application fulfillment of this blessing of the plan of redemption. We're just going to quickly close here. This church, the body of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth, can move forward under the blessing and power and direction of the Holy Spirit and the Trinity being present in our midst. We are the embodiment of the church of a living God, and we in faith can move forward. And when that man shared with us the joy of his heart and the expression of faith in that group through the process of ordination, he was rejoicing, and God had divinely given direction to that group to move forward in the work. Do we have that faith? Yes, we have that faith. Do we embrace that power? Yes, we embrace that power. God is able to raise up leaders in this group. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. That's one application. God has given gifts to this body. He is a sovereign donor of spiritual gifts. We don't look at each other's humanity. We look at what God has invested in your life and mine, and in the enablement he gives us to exercise this gift. Thence, we have a Sunday school teacher that can lead a meaningful Sunday school. We have a devotional leader that knows the power of the Spirit and is in indwelling presence of Christ, has known the blessing and power of the engrafted word, and is able to share out of his heart and edify the church. He's given gifts to this body. We need to share the mind of Christ. He is our example. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Because Christ went to the cross. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath raised him up and hath given him which is a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Christ, to the honor and glory of God the Father.